Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 1-888-BET. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Gamble responsibly.
Of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. It's the Radio City Legends for a Thursday evening. It's 6:30. And of course, Graham Sharp and John Aldridge are here. John Aldridge has got the Real Sociedad Supporters Club inside the tower for some reason. There's about 20 Sharpie that have come over from Spain.
There's six.
Oh, is there?
And he's
making out this 20,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's smoozing out there kind of thing. No, it's good to see. I think the boy John will tell the story that the lad wanted to meet him, so this is fantastic.
Are they regaling stories of you playing for Sociedad, John?
Yeah, lovely people, yeah. Just outside, with there's three generations there. And yeah, lovely.
Are they all Sociedad fans?
Yeah. But as you said, like I spoke to you and Sharpie about it, great city, great people. The best people are great people, you know, and I was very fortunate to be there for 2 years. And, you know, it's just nice to see. It's always nice to see them.
Wonderful to see you're part of their history, though, isn't it? They can be bothered to come over from Spain and see him.
What do you mean, can they be bothered? He's a legend in Sociedad as well. Can they be bothered?
He doesn't know that I was the first non-Basque to play for them.
I know that. You've told me that about 80 times.
Oh, well, 81 now.
Yeah, there you go. It's very important.
No, it is.
So did you go over at the exact same time as Kev Rich?
No, they came over the following season.
They came over the following season.
Yeah, right. Rico and Dalian. Yeah, Dalian, that's right, a good rest of soul, yeah. Yeah, right. So. No, but, you know, I've got great memories, you know, absolutely great memories.
What was your goal scoring record for Sociedad?
I don't know, right, I got 14.76. So, but the one that stood out was, no, you get lucky teams you score against. Well, mine was Barcelona.
Yeah.
My first game at home was 2-2, we got the 2. But the next three away games in Nou Camp, the first one was 2-2, I scored the 2. The second one in the Cup was 3-3, I scored 2. But the last game I played there, I scored the week before against Atletico Madrid, which won them the league.
Yeah, brilliant.
So the last game but one before the end of the season, we went to the Nou Camp and we clapped them on the pitch. They got La Liga. And there was 110,000 people there, and we beat them 3-1, and they scored 2.
Oh, yeah, brilliant!
But Dalian Atkinson, I might have scored 2, but Dalian Atkinson was the star. He made the 2, scored 1. He just ripped them to shreds.
So, when you were over there, was it you? Did they come to you and ask you about Dalian Atkinson Mitchell?
Well, no. I think they wanted the influx of foreigners to come, unlike Bilbao. And I think they tested the water with me.
Right.
And if it went well, they wanted other people to follow through, which they did.
Yeah, brilliant.
First of all, was Kevin and Dalian. And then after that, they got them from all over the world.
Good.
But it's a great club. And as I say, the people are fantastic. The food is just to die for. It's the gastric capital of Europe and has been for years.
And the wine,
Sharpie. The wine, the Rioja. La Rioja.
And the sun. You're part of a new generation, weren't you?
But sunny.
Terry Venables had been out there for a few years, hadn't he?
It's not necessarily sunny.
It's not like your Benidorms.
No.
It's nice, don't get me wrong. It's lovely, but it's... It can be a bit volatile up there, you know. When
I'm sure I played up there. We played in Coruña.
You've been there. In Coruña. You went with Howard.
We did.
Howard took Everton there.
Is Coruña up that way as well?
Coruña's over the west side.
Right, okay.
La Coruña's on the west.
Yeah. That was lovely.
Did you not say a Spanish side were trying to sign you at one point as well, Sharpie?
I can't remember. No, Monaco.
Monica.
Oh,
that would have been alright, wouldn't it?
Oh, Sharpie, what happened there, mate? Did someone throw a spanner in the legs?
Nightmare the agent was a lad, Dennis Roach, remember Dennis
Roach? He's the one that took me.
Well, they are.
Cockroach, I call him.
Well,
he still owes me 20 grand.
Yeah. Well, he got in touch with me and said, listen, we've got a couple of teams interested. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, of course I would be. What are you talking about? And he said, we've got a couple in France. I said, right, okay. He says, Monaco are really keen. So I'm like, I'm a bit of this will do it me kind of thing. He says, so, you know, so you're out of contract in the summer, aren't you? And I went, no, I've got a year left. He went, you're joking. He went, no. He went, oh, no, they've got no money to spend. They've just, if you were a free agent, you could come over.
The wrong time, really, yeah, wasn't it? Look at Monaco now.
I know. What a life that would have been.
Hey, do you know who lives over there now, Dunny? He lives in Monaco.
Richard Dom.
Does
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's a great lad. You know, obviously, he's done well for himself. I was speaking to him last year, and he's settled in Monaco, and he comes over to do his work from there. He said he's a family lover. Obviously, it's Monaco, one of the best places in the world to live.
If you've just wondered why we're talking about foreign clubs, it's because John's fan club from Real Sociedad is outside the window at the moment looking in on him. They're treating him like the king of Spain.
But you know what the worrying thing is?
What?
Our producer's out there. He's trying to blag a trip to Sociedad, I bet he is.
Yeah, but no, he said his name was Juan Carlos. They think he's Juan Carlos.
Juan Carlos Downey. Anyway, in this studio, you're the beast from the east, not the king of Spain. What about the weather heading into the... What's the worst weather conditions either of you ever played in?
Spain. A heated wind.
Yeah?
Wind. Anything else? Rain, snow, not a problem. Cold, not a problem. Wind used to spoil the game.
And you don't remember a particular match that was just a horror to be involved in?
No.
It was really cold. The coldest I've ever played was at Oxford Oldham, and you being at Oldham, you know how cold it gets up there, Sharpie.
Yeah,
that was really cold.
Christian just asked me before, you know, did this affect you, the cold? I went, not really. Once you went out and ran about, you forgot about the cold. It was a wind.
You get a sweat on, don't you? Yeah, I remember playing, we played in Osasuna once. I was talking about Real Sociedad and just before half time, I forget the score, I think it was 0-0, these snowballs came down. Now the snow and the snowballs, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. They were pelting us, but they were massive. So as soon as they were coming down, the referee just said off, everyone just ran off. It was like getting snowballed from heaven, you know. And it was all on the pitch and all that, but we went in the change room, it stopped. 10 minutes later, it was gone, straight on the pitch. The weather was
the worst. Osasuna was that little Sammy?
Sammy went there.
Did you play against him? No.
No. The Sammy was just before me. Yeah, right. He left as I came. Yeah.
Right, and then Adrian Heath went to.
He went to
Espanyol.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what year that was, Inchi, because I missed him as well. Yeah, but Barcelona, what a great city that is as well.
Oh, look at these two boys reflecting on it. And the reason I bring up the weather before is Everton. They're playing at Burnley
week.
Now that could be torrential, couldn't it? Burnley's slightly higher, isn't it?
Is that all? What time kickoff's there?
Early kickoff, I think.
Half
12.
Or start to half 11. I've seen on Sky.
So is the weather forecast bad for it? Is there snow predicted for Burnley?
I think the forecast now is. We miss it. Tomorrow, I think.
It eases off then.
Yeah, eases off a little bit. I think we'll be all right.
But haven't all the Premier League grounds now got to have under soil eating?
I don't think that'll be a problem. I think it'll be for the punters.
The
punters walking and all. It's a hilly place, Burnley. No, that usually gets affected by the weather, but
it looks all right on this screen in terms of percentage chances of snow.
Yeah, I think we should be okay.
Maybe it'll pass off easy. Did you see the pictures of Rafa Benitez coaching his Newcastle players in the snow in the other day? Newcastle got hit badly, but he still forced them all out there and he had the shorts on himself.
They'd have been under soil heating as well. The pictures
didn't look like it. Looked like they were shoveling.
Was it?
Yeah. And actually, did you see the Peterborough game the other day where Boy Taylor got hold of a shovel and started helping to clear the snow off the pitch.
I played the snow and it's been on that. I didn't mind it, to be fair.
Do you know, it's funny, when we used to play, we used to like change this because of the ice underneath. The snow was all right when it's compacted, but there was ice underneath. But what we had to do, we used to have like these leather studs. And they had like three sharp nails. Remember Sharpie?
Yeah, remember that.
And that's where you got your grip from. You used to get a file and you used to grind it and file them down to get these three studs.
That's terrible. I've got a few gases here. That's where I know
now. No, I know some defenders. I swear to God, they used to get the files to get these three nails shown so that they could really hurt someone as well.
Are you sure you're allowed to do that?
No, but it wasn't me. I couldn't.
Don't they check you?
But what it did though was quite clever because it got a tiny bit of grip into the ice more so than anything else. So you got a bit of a grip with it.
It's going to be cold in Berlin. It'll be cold at Anfield at 5:30 on Saturday. Anyway,
we'll be where I'm. Where
are you up on the commentary position?
I'm up in the gantry, right at the top of the stand.
The Grand National.
joke. Can't believe it.
Oh, same day as the Liverpool game, Liverpool-Bournemouth. Now, that's bizarre, isn't it?
The only problem is that on the Sunday, it's Hillsborough Day, isn't it? Yeah. So that's like a double ball for Liverpool. So maybe they had no alternative, the club, because you don't want to play on that. Or it would have been a Monday night. Yeah, you know, with that bearing in mind, yeah, but I think the same day as the Grand National.
Could you play it on a Friday?
Friday or something?
What have Liverpool got that week coming? They haven't got a Champions League or anything, have they? Running up to that?
No. I think there might be, mate.
Let's have a look at the Liverpool thing.
Otherwise, you think, why not play it on a Friday?
Or maybe it might still get shifted around. It seems an odd one. So the Grand National starts at 5:15, it'll finish at 5:25. Liverpool will kick off against Bournemouth at 5:30.
Yeah, but then people leave the race, and they won't be leaving the race until about 6:30, 7 o'clock, just in time for Liverpool fans to come out as well.
I think if they played on a Monday, where are we now?
They didn't interfere with Sky if they've got a game.
Anyway. So here you go. 8th of April, Everton away. Then, of course, 14th, which is the Saturday, Bournemouth. That's Grand National Day. And then West Brom the week after, the 22nd. But presumably there's a Champions League fixture sandwiched in there, isn't it?
Yeah,
so there is a problem for sure.
It's not great, is it?
No.
Right. No. Lots more to talk about. Our producer's returned.
Well, I'm glad he's
left his Spanish friends.
Well,
do you
know what he did?
Did you get yourself a holiday, Dave?
That's what he's after. San Sebastian. Yeah. But do you know what? He told us the other week about, you know, these lovely people coming in. He phones me up on the way in. Where are you? 10 past 6. Where are you? Well, why, Dave? These Spanish people. What do you know? Am I like supposed to know these things unless I'm told? Dear me, sack him.
I don't know. 6:42. It's the Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. If you want to get involved, 0151 4720967. 4720967. Your call's coming next.
Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 188 Bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Gamble responsibly.
Our Merseyside legends, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Call now 0151 472 0967. Red and blue, banter and debate. The Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6:45. Give the Legends a shout. 0151 472 0967. I'm Steve Hothersall, Graham Sharp, John Aldridge in the studio. Just before we get to the callers, the boys wanted to talk about an article that Brian Reid has written today in the Daily Mirror. It's headlined, "Football's Never Been So Rich, but for the majority who play at the bottom, it's never seemed poorer." And there's a picture from behind a goal net of a flooded football pitch looking a little bit like it's in dire need of investment. And Brian goes on to say, for those who play at the bottom of the game, fixture wipeouts are the norm in our country. Some teams claiming to have played only a couple of times since November. Put simply, today's amateur football pitches are a national disgrace, shaming the government obsessed with cuts and football authorities obsessed with keeping as much of their newfound wealth to themselves.
It's absolutely spot on. He's a great writer, Brian. I like reading him. And that's a great piece. You know, it's all about grassroots. There's a petition there, need 100,000 people to sign it, to try and get it in motion with the government. I think it's up to about nearly 40,000.
30,000. It needs 100,000 by March the 13th to be in with a chance of being discussed in the Commons.
Yeah, so we've got to try and get the word out there. It's up to 37,000, I think, today. Because it is wrong. You know, the amount of money in football now. You know, and you know what the agents are getting. Agents are getting more money than grassroots. Probably one agent's getting as much as, you know, gets put in the country, you know. And there should be some sort of thing passed by the government to protect the kids and give them. You know, I watch my grandson play every Sunday, and he's only played once since the end of November. I think
the pitches are rubbish. Or?
Well, it's just the weather. The weather. If you've got the 3G pitches. And there's a couple being built now down the Simpsons ground, down the South End, which I've noticed, which is great, you know, Hunts Crossway. But there's not enough. You know, there's 2,000 in Germany, you know, all over the place. You know, I think we were promised by an ex-sports minister some time ago. I don't know whether it's Dyke. Might have been Dyke. And again, it's just gone under the... under the floorboards, you know, to be forgotten.
It's amazing because the clubs in the Premier League especially will look after their own. So all their academy facilities will be top drawer and everything else. But I agree with John. But I think nowadays it's really hard, you know, for the grassroots, where if you're six, you're getting approached from professional teams and Premier League teams. So it's a kind of case of just let's forget about the other kids who aren't good enough to kind of make that step up. They've still got their facilities to enjoy playing kind of thing. So it's not right. And you look at some of the pitches that the kids have to play, and then you wonder, where's all the kids playing football on a Saturday or a Sunday? And it's not there.
And it affects their growth and ability to play at a certain level. This petition, interestingly enough, which has been launched by Save Grassroots Football, is calling on the government to impose a 5% levy on the Premier League's existing £8.3 billion combined revenue from the TV deals and reinvest that 5% into grassroots football.
Well, it is, but there is one thing. I don't know what MD out there will come on as well and talk about it, is growing up, and I know life's changed and different things, but where are all the kids that used to play on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning? You couldn't go in Glasgow, you couldn't go past a football pitch without games going on. Yeah,
a big park, just like 10 games
We had a famous one in Glasgow called the 50 Pitches, obviously because there was 50 pitches here, and every Saturday and Sunday, mobbed, absolutely mobbed. Now you've got there's one of them left, and it's all houses and everything built on them and everything else. But you just, and then they say, why can't Scotland produce any players anymore?
Well, it doesn't help, does it?
Can't do, can it? No, 10 to 7, Radio City Talk. You want to talk about that, give us a shout. Let's get to the phone lines, slightly later than normal, but we've had a fair bit to talk about. So we're going to start with a red, and first up on the Radio City Legends, Peter. Evening, Pete.
Evening, lads, you okay?
Hello, Peter.
Yeah, just while I was listening to you talking about the grassroots football there, and that's quite topical from my point of view, because, to be honest, I'm a coach at Whistling Juniors, Stevie Gerrard's old team, and we've just done like a crowdfunding appeal for money to come into the club to pay for the maintenance of the pitches and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually met up with Paul Joyce from the Times today.
Yeah, no problem.
And he's took an interest in it, and he's done an article with me today and spoke all about that. And like you say, the money that's coming into the game now, it should be flowing down into these junior football teams. Well, that should be happening at the moment. But yeah, that's just why he was onto that one. Just talking about Liverpool, I'd just like to ask you, John, obviously looking towards next season, how many players do you think we need to bring in to push City for the title challenge? I'm speaking to a few lads who are now there talking 5-6 players. What's your take on it, John?
We have got a real good squad, you know, when everyone's fit. You're looking, obviously, Emery Sean's gone. Obviously, we've got Keita coming in. Goalkeeping situation, it's obvious that I think Simon Mignolet, by the looks of things, will probably leave the club. Might be wrong, unless it's a big turnaround. But things are looking, because Karius is the number one goalkeeper from the manager's point of view. Centre-halves, I think we could be alright centre-half. If, from what I believe, Gomez will obviously go in along with Lovren, Matip and Van Dijk. That solidifies four there. Done rotten with Clavin, I don't know. The two right backs, stroke three, if Nick Gomez needs to play there, Klein and Trent is strong. Left back, probably Robinson, Moreno. What happens to Moreno, I don't know. Possibly something maybe looked at there. Midfield, I think we need a really good defensive midfield player. You know, Didier Mann type. You know that type of a player, I think. And I would love us to go and get, even though we've got three great strikers, and it could be costly. A goal scorer. Where these are, you can't pick them off trees. But you know, certainly a goalkeeper will come in. Perhaps a left back, midfield. I'm talking about quality here. We got good numbers now. You're talking about quality that need to come in. And there might be a few players that perhaps may go out, you know, to subsidise it as well. But what about yourself?
Yeah, I was thinking like towards like the front line of the pitch. Obviously, we've got Salah, Firmino, and Mane, but like it's sort of a backup player, a versatile striker, someone who can play in either of them three positions, if you like, you can cover for them three.
Well, my take on that is, and again, it's whether you can afford it, and if he's out there, you know, a 25 goal a season striker plays off the shoulder like me and Sharpie did. You know, Firmino can play, you know, in his place before him or whichever way. Firmino can play on the right.
Would you go for a different one, John? In terms of, well, I know with 25 goals, so maybe go with somebody who's more a target.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the other three lads, we know how they play kind of thing. They're not the tallest, but go for somebody different, like a target.
Yeah. I would do, absolutely, you know. And you know, obviously, we look at Harry Kane. He's the type that you'd want, you know, whether they're out there and at the price, it's very difficult to get. But that's the type of player I would want us to get. Mm. You know, for me, you can play on the right. You can play on the left. We've seen him before. You know, it just strengthens your whole going forward, scoring goals. You know, not plan B, as they say, plan A plus, whatever it is. But I'd like us to see us get one of them, you know. They're the four positions I'd be looking at, you know, at this present moment in time, rather than going for quantity. I'd rather go for quality, you know. Well, Keita's coming in as well, you know, so that would be five players.
But a few names you haven't mentioned, so Daniel Sturridge, he'll come back off his loan, whether he goes out again.
Well, he's got
obviously
to get rid of
me. Seen. Divock Origi's out on loan still a Liverpool player.
Well, if you're looking to get better, unfortunately, them two players have to go along with the residue.
Dominic Solanke out on loan or not? Or do you just leave him?
Possibly. Well, he's learning then. He's only a young lad. There's no one with him, you know, staying about. You know, see what happens with Danny Ings. You know, I'd love him to pick up where he left off. It's going to be hard for him. He might be one, you know, surplus requirements. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You look at Liverpool, I've still got players there that, you know, you know, they can strengthen the hand with. Money-wise. And plus, they've still got money in the bank from Coutinho, hopefully.
Fascinating to see what happens. Just before you go, Peter, you mentioned your crowdfunding at the moment. So how does that work for your local team?
Yeah, well, they only put the appeal out this Tuesday evening. They set up their own Twitter page at Whiston Juniors and put a crowdfunding appeal out to try and raise £10,000 for... there's a lot of maintenance work that needs to be done on the drainage, on the pitches, They need the new equipment. They need new kits. There's quite a lot of money need spent on the changing rooms as well.
How many teams have you got, Pete?
Well, they run right through from under sixes all the way up to under 18s, John.
Wow. Well, that's tough.
That's a lot of young footballers,
that's
isn't
tough,
it?
Right, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Hopefully, people will help you out, Peter.
We've not had a game, a home game anyway, since, like you say, the early November. Just been called off due to the weather and things like that.
Well, best of luck with the fundraising. Yeah. Maybe we'll catch up on that in the future.
All the best, Peter. Good luck, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers.
There we go. Let's move on to our first Everton caller of the night, and it's Phil who wants to talk about the Blues. Evening, Phil.
Hello, lads. How are you?
Hi, Phil.
We all right? Is it windy up there?
It's not too bad, to be fair.
It's not windy. It's bloody cold, though, mate. I tell you.
I just wanted to touch on it. Like, I've only caught the back end of that last caller there. We run local teams ourselves. Mm. And what's happening in the Merseyside area? They're selling the football pitches off to investors who are building houses, which is okay. Yeah, we're all upset over it, but they should be made to build a 4G.
Yeah.
For every estate they build.
Absolutely.
Did you?
Absolutely, mate. You know what I mean? It's not rocket science, is it, Phil?
No, they're making a fortune. The kids are playing on pitches that are unplayable anyway, as Scott just said. But equally, I wanted to touch on the likes of the lower leagues. Your Chesters and that, having a whip round to play a game the other week.
Yeah.
The Prem is out of sight. It's a bit like, how can I put it, Italian football was 15 years ago. All the dough's ploughed in. It's great. But you're selling a player for 148 million quid, as an example, this is. You should be made to pay 10 or 20% back into the lower leagues for every transfer. And that would keep them afloat. You know, look at Rochdale. They've got a bit of luck drawing Tottenham. So they've got £1 million out of that. But if players are being sold left, right and centre in the Prem for ridiculous amounts of money, there should be a levy and a percentage put on it that money feeds down to the lower leagues, and then even grassroots football. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's spot on, isn't it, Gray? You know, yeah. The government's got a lot to blame for this, for letting it, you know.
It's just the Premier League, isn't it? The Premier League are looking after themselves.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right, and everybody, I think everybody feels the same as you and would like to see what you're saying happen. But I just think it's the powers that be. And I know, I think it's Scudamore at the Premier League will say that they try and do this and try and help. Mm. But the money, as you said, it's awash with money. You know, there's something should be done. What you said about the developers who are building houses, spot on.
Yeah.
That would be a start, you know, spot on. Whether somebody who wants a new house and wants a 4G pitch next to them is another thing, but there's certainly plenty of a space where they can put in 4G pitches if they've taken away, you know, 5, 6, 7 pitches or whatever.
Absolutely.
But I just think the Premier League clubs, you know, we talk about Hartlepool who are struggling, talking about Chester, you know, who are struggling. Common sense would say to you, yeah, surely a Premier League club could help these, but they won't. They will not. That's the thing.
Yeah. Even if it's just 1%, you know, just, you know, out of, you know, what they get from each deal, 1%. It, you know, it's. Mm-hmm. I don't expect them to give like 10%.
No,
but I think we'll do that. But it's just something that will keep it afloat and build it to this so-called 2000 that should have been started 3 years ago. But I think it was Greg Dyke. I might be wrong, but yeah, no, it's so frustrating, you know, because we all love to watch kids football. And I see the way it works in Portugal, Phil. Little village called Benceflin by me and Lewis. You know, it's a village with about less than 1,000 people there. Big 3G pitch. It's got its own little cafe on the side. Changing rooms like a cricket pavilion.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Fabulous.
Brilliant. Yeah. Kids are there every night. And the way it works there, all the families... All in the village subsidise all the coaches who were like 16, 17, 18,
really?
Learning the badges, and they've got the kids like a babysitting service, but they're coaching the kids every single night and they're playing a weekend. It's absolutely magnificent.
Just a quick one, Sharpie.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, personal opinion at the time, I wanted Koeman and then I wanted Sam. Do you think you're going to pay him off in the summer and get someone else in?
Listen, I think, Phil, but if we're honest, you know, I think there's a lot of disgruntled Evertonians at the moment. I think I've said it before and I'll say it again. At the start, it was good and people thought it was the right move. I think there's a few people now questioning that. Personally speaking, I think the club, it's in a massive situation at this moment in time. Do they pay him off? The only thing for me is the 18-month contract was always going to be difficult, you know, to say, what does that tell you? You know, I think at first he wanted to give him a 6-month contract. He said no, he wanted 18 months. That doesn't give you, 18 months doesn't give you a long time to bring in players that you want, that, you know, assemble a squad of players. I don't know what they'll do. I think it's a massive decision for Mashiri to make in the summer. Obviously, you want them to improve. I would say to you, Phil, have they improved since he's came on board?
I'm going to say no. I think we've stood still, we've not gone backwards. Mm.
What would you do?
What would I personally do now?
Yeah.
It could be a role of like a dual management. The way I see it, you know, we've spent a lot of money and I can't see Everton putting another £200 million up in the summer.
No.
So you need to take a manager that can work what he's got and be shrewd in the market and bring in players. I mean, we all know World Cup was a nice little snip at that price.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I would do, and I didn't thought I'd say this. Klassen, for me, he didn't get long enough. And I was one of the ones who thought he ain't nowhere near a Premiership footballer. But what I would say is, give the lad 5 games, because what we've got in the middle, it ain't working. You know, you're looking at your Sigurdsson's, Tom Davies, great kid with a character, but can't stop a bag of wind. You know, Arisa De Gea running around like a chicken with no head. You know, give the lad, see, has he got what it takes and bang him in the middle.
Phil, we've got to go there, because I've got to go to a break, but thank you very much indeed for your thoughts.
Cheers, Phil. Good
cheers, Phil.
Indeed, 3 minutes good past trip. 7 o'clock, it's the Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. More of your calls coming next. And pens.
Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 188 Bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Gamble responsibly.
call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7 minutes past seven, Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp here. Just before we get to our quiz, John, you were involved in the launch of Forever Reds the other day. So the club has launched a former players association. Tell us a little bit.
Yeah, all it is, it's the ex-players association, which has been going for over 20-odd years, 25 years, I think now, you know, raising money for local charities. We've united with the club now to join hands and to obviously make it bigger and wider across the globe with all the ex-players we have. Liverpool, who's been involved with the club now. And it's something that I've been speaking to the club about for the last 6 months. You know, none of us are getting any younger. We've actually dissolved, you know. Unfortunately, some of our members have passed away. A lot have passed away, you know, over the time. And we needed to freshen it up. So the club, we're delighted to get involved. We're delighted to be involved with the club. And obviously to up the ante and raise more money than ever, you know, with the association, you know, and with the club. So yeah, we're great for both sides. So I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Congratulations. What a chairman you will be. Right, let's get on to pens.
You'd be like Arthur Scargo.
Jeez,
it's started already.
Oh, brilliant.
Right, John is 3-1 up in this competition. And so, who does the honour go to? Who's going to start off? Three pens each. Sharpie, do you want to take the first one?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
You've got to get back on track here. Come on, then.
Two.
Number two. What was the score when Liverpool last took on Newcastle?
At home?
No.
Did the question say that?
3-0, Liverpool.
Why? What is going through his head? What is going through his head?
John, do you know the answer?
1-1.
Yeah, it was 1-1 there, wasn't it?
And I don't know how they got one, because that's all. They only had one shot on the day.
But they got it. They've had a couple of good results this season, including beating Manchester United at home. John, where do you want to go?
Six.
Number six. Now, you should know this, because your mates from Spain have just been in. How many strings does a Spanish guitar have?
Oh, he's lived in Spain.
It's the Basque area.
Did you never pick up a guitar out there?
I'm going to go six.
Oh, yes!
He's the player.
How on earth did he mastermind that?
What a great guess that was.
I knew it was more than an original one.
Musical three. Influence there in John's life. Number three. What is the name of the storm that is set to batter the UK over the next few hours and days?
Emma.
Well done, Sharpie.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Okay, well done. Got one on the board there, John.
Everton's won 4 or 5, isn't it? So I'll go one, which will be general knowledge, knowing Dave.
All right. Number one. Which rapper recently starred at the Brit Awards?
Oh, come on, I know this. I can get a point for this.
And was crowned the best British artist.
What?
Come on.
Which rapper? What rappers do you know, John?
Bansy.
That's the only one I know, yeah.
Do you know any rappers' names?
Big Diddy, whatever his name is.
No idea.
Who's Puff Big Daddy? Diddy?
What was
Puff,
one of them?
Puff Daddy's the one you're after there.
That's what
the answer was...
Stormzy.
I wouldn't have got that.
No. Are you not onto the theme of the quiz tonight?
I am now, you said Stormzy.
The weather's a bit bad, isn't it?
I've never heard of Stormzy.
Oh, come on, boys.
Four.
Right, there we go. Sharpie's gone for number four.
Evan.
Charles Dickens is famous...
What?!
Charles Dickens is famous for which seasonal book?
Oh, come on, Sharpie. Easter eggs.
No, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
No, that's a movie.
Is that the book It's Christmas by Charles Dickens?
No! What was the question?
It's not Christmas by Charles Dickens.
What was the question?
Charles Dickens is famous for which seasonal book? Mm.
Why?
Christmas.
What is going through his head? What is going through his head?
Right, we've got to go to the adjudicator.
That's right, no. Isn't it? Christmas Carol.
No, but
you
came after the bell.
No, I knew it was Christmas Carol. Oh, that's a point.
No comment.
That's a point. I'm taking
I'm sorry, but the
I think we
Sharpie.
Should give Sharpie that.
Thank
one.
You, John.
I think we should
See,
give him
thank
that,
you.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
listen to him. He's done nothing all night.
Producer Dave?
Yeah. Oh, he has no say whatsoever anymore.
John, we'll give you the last question, see if you can you can win
Go
it. Paulo Fonseca has been linked to the Everton job if Sam Allardyce leaves this summer.
Yeah.
But who did his Shakhtar side beat in the first leg of their last 16 Champions League tie?
Roma, I think.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
2-2, 2-2, mate, yeah.
Yeah, cheers, John.
2-2, and you got a draw by default there.
I never got... I didn't understand the question.
He knew it was Christmas Carol, didn't you, lad? Yeah.
I don't know what the Roma influence is in the weather. Okay, it currently stands at 3-1 still, and the boys
what
have drawn the last one. Dave's meant to be on your side. He's the quiz master. Right, boys, just before we get back to the phone lines, 4720967, tonight is Arsenal against Man City.
Yeah, good game.
It's a fascinating one, really, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's how Arsenal approach it after what's happened Sunday. Yeah. They've got a lot of stake. Will they bounce back with that? With the manager? Can the manager, you know, really wind them up?
Is it
it's at Arsenal, you know, but that's psychologically City, isn't it?
I still think City are... I was just about to say something, you were talking about Liverpool signing strikers and that. How disappointing has he been, Aubameyang, for Arsenal?
Yeah.
Been really disappointing. Yeah. Don't look as if they played to his strengths and they were struggling. So he's due a good game. But I just think even tonight, I'm looking at that Arsenal team and I know they've been slated and everything else, but I still think you have to fancy City.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a bet you go City, wouldn't you? Yeah. Psychologically as well. I think the first goal in Arsenal. But I mean, it's strange because they've got Lacazette, who everyone's, you know, and he does well, and then you're thinking, where's he gone? You're not sure. And then they go and get Aubameyang, and you're thinking, same type of player. Is it just to appease the fans, you know, to spend all this money on these two strikers? Because it doesn't look. And they're two really good players, aren't they, Sharpie?
Yeah.
How's he playing them? If another coach comes in, which I'm sure this summer, they'll probably have that.
Is this when Wenger leaves?
I think, you know,
you
enough
just,
enough.
You just look at Liverpool and the way Liverpool play and with the three. You look at Aubameyang, Lacazette, as you said, and you've got Ozil in there as well. So you're looking at three, what you'd say, quality front players and forward players, but don't play the same way as Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then play in a system where they're not getting the best from Ozil, they're not getting the best from Lacazette, and they're not getting the best from Aubameyang. So do they need to change it? Do they need to change the way they're playing? Does Arsene Wenger need to move on? I don't know.
It's like he's bought players just for the sake of it that don't fit into his makeup. You know, another manager could come in and come up with a great idea and go, no, there you go, you go behind them two and change the formation. And all of a sudden you go bing, bong. The quality. We all know the quality.
Okay, it's Arsenal against Pep tonight. Let's have a couple more callers on the Radio City Legends. Going to start with Gary. In Booth, who wants to talk about Liverpool. Evening, Gary.
You all right?
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Steve. Sharpie, you're probably pleased to know that I'm not going to talk about VAR.
Oh, I know. I knew somebody would bring it up. Well, shambles.
None of us seen what happened last night, anyway.
I'm bored with it, but I've got loads of opinions about it, but we'll leave it another time.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about the pressing game, you know, in modern football. And I just want to ask Aldo, you know, the difference. You know, what was it like when he played, you know, even when Sharpie played, I know the game's changed, obviously, and, you know, we look at Man City, the way they play, and the emphasis on winning the ball back all the time, and, you know, defend them from the front. And so what I'd like to ask Aldo is was he ever instructed, you know, to defend from the front? How's the game changed, basically, in terms of pressing?
Yeah, well, to answer your question, I played for Ireland, and under Jack Charlton, and I didn't score for my first 19 games because I was told to run and chase everything like we used to do it. Good honest, the first line of defence was always us, and we would chase down fullbacks, wouldn't we, Sharpie? If the goalkeeper threw it to fullbacks, we'd you know, chase the backsides out of the centre halves. But with Ireland, even when they had a sweeper, I was told by Jack to chase the sweeper and the three till they got the ball to an area where then our midfield would come in. So Ireland, where we played under Jack Charlton, was all about the pressing game and playing teams in their half. You know, getting the ball to the fullbacks, ball to the corner, I'd get the ball and we play them in their half. So I exactly know how it works. And when I was manager Tranmere, we played the pressing game. You know, that's why a lot of Premier League teams couldn't cope with us.
But that was never instructed here at Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you look at Liverpool, even when we had Roger Hunt and St John up front and then Keegan and Toshak, they were always told to chase down defenders. Everton was the same under Howard himself.
Your front player's the trigger. So if he goes, everybody has to go behind him. You know, the worst thing you would do if you went and closed somebody down and they didn't do it behind you and they got out too easy. And I think in those days, when we talk about the game's changed, there was a lot more long balls. So it was only in certain certain instances where you could go and close and make sure it let's close and all get in together. But I think it's gone on. But I think, obviously, as we talked about it, the game has changed. But I think I think the way Liverpool do it, I think the way Man City do it,
Tottenham
not as much so, but I just think Liverpool and Man City have got it off to a tee at this moment in time. Go on.
Sorry.
Go on, mate.
I was listening to one of Klopp's interviews, and he was praising the lads. He was saying the brilliant pressing and the counter pressing. And I was thinking, I don't even know what that means. Is that counter pressing their press? What does that mean, counter pressing? Mm-hmm.
Come on, Aldo, you know.
These guys are looking blank in the studio.
We know as much as you do, Gary.
Counter-pressing is...
Is that pressing then when you've pressed and you've lost it?
Yeah. I imagine so, wouldn't it?
They'll just do it all over the park, you know, and that counter-pressing, it has to be just that, wouldn't it? Or when you lose the ball to go again. It has to be...
How is that different to pressing? That's what I don't get what Klopp's saying, is it?
Yeah, well, let's find out that one. But I think just basically just pressing all over the park. And Sharpie's quite right. Once the first player goes, if no one comes in behind him, then it's a waste of space. You're going to get done. Mm-hmm. That's when little gaps will open. And Barcelona, obviously, with Guardiola, I think it was, with the first team to employ the tactics that we're seeing now. Liverpool are doing something very, very similar.
Copycat sort of thing.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Barcelona were brilliant with it. You know, you've got to have the energy. Mm. The energy is to keep it up as well. Take it from me. But counter-pressing.
Gary, top question.
That's my own way tomorrow, mate, I tell you.
Bamboozled the boys. That is brilliant. We're all going to find that out.
Sorry, now. Hey, I wanted you to talk about VAR.
Bye, Gary.
With a more idea.
Top man. Thank you very much for your call. Let's squeeze a blue in. We've got Matt, who's in Wrexham, wants to talk about Everton. Hello, Matt.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello, Matt.
I've got to say, it's a privilege to be on your show. I absolutely love listening to it, lads.
Cheers, Matt.
It's wonderful. I've got a question for... Well, it's more of a passionate outburst, really, without sounding too forthright. It's to do with, you touched... I want to make 2 points. The first one is you touched on the money in football and grassroots football missing out on money. You know, as a season ticket holder, I pay £500 every month to go and watch Adam. That's just home, the league games. Then I'm paying £100 a month to Sky to watch that. Mm. Okay, now I the money spent as well when I go to the games and all this, I don't mind because it goes into the club. But what breaks my heart as a fan, as a real passionate fan, is when you see the likes of Paul Pogba going to United, okay, and his agent gets over €40 million.
Yeah. Yep.
There's too much money is lost out of the game to these agents. Yep. Now, I don't know who's in charge of the fees that these idiots can command.
Yep.
But when you look at whether it be the FA, the governing bodies of the FA, or the governing bodies of UEFA or FIFA, surely somebody can step in and say, right, you're only allowed to earn this much money. Once you've earned that, or whether it be a percentage or a figure or whatever, I don't know the answer. Mm. But I certainly do feel that way too much money goes out of the game, straight to the agents that, to be honest, they're only in it for the money. Yeah. What interest have they got in the likes of me spending all the money I do to go and watch my club?
No, you're right.
Matt, don't you think that, you know, this is a thing that bugs me. Why do clubs... have
I know
to
you're
pay
going to say
the agents.
Spot on, Sharpie.
Why do clubs have to pay the agents? Why can that money not be paid by the player? So all that this money that the clubs are paying to agents, you know,
why? You know, why doesn't the player, so you mentioned Pogba there, why doesn't Pogba pay his agent? Why should Manchester United pay Pogba's agent?
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, for the money that Manchester United paid Pogba's agent, they could have given that to grassroots football and it would have made them run for the next 10 years, 15 years, whatever it might be. And it's just crazy, the whole business.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make the whole sense. Business model's
wrong. It should be capped or something. But Sharpie's right. The players should pay the agents. Absolutely, you know, 100%. But you worry with FIFA and UEFA. Why have they never done nothing? Mm-hmm. Hey, are they in on it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because it just doesn't make sense. And it's ridiculous, you know, and it hurts, doesn't it, Matt?
It absolutely. It's ruining the game completely. Mm-hmm. And it just sickens me because, you know, I'm bless you, that. I don't want to have a go at either of the guys, but I'm nearly 50 and I'm still younger than you both, obviously.
Thanks very much. What's that got to do with it?
But I've paid, you know, over the last three decades, I've paid a lot of money to my club. Mm. And it hurts deeply when I see players get, you know, giving these agents, well, the club, should I say, giving these agents so much money. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Right, I want to touch on a second point very, very quickly because I know that you've got a packed show. Mm-hmm. It's the Sam Allardyce talk. Mm-hmm. Now, when we eventually signed him, you know, I went to the game and everybody that I spoke to, the people, friends, people that sit around me, nobody wanted him at the club, okay? Now, give him his dues, he's done a job. We know what he does and he's done his job, okay? Mm. But this 18-month contract, there's one reason and one reason only he's got that 18-month contract. He knew he would be out in the summer, okay? He knew for a fact he would be out in the summer. So he's gone, give me an 18-month contract, so when you sack me, you can give me the year's wages. That's the one reason only. I don't want to sound too harsh on him on a personal level, but he's a money man. He's just a money man, that's all he is. He proved that with the controversial issues over when he was the sting operation that caught him, and he had to pay that $400,000 out. He's done us a good job in the summer. We've got to get rid of him. And the rumours I'm hearing that are coming out through papers, through the media, saying that Moshiri wants a young manager in. I quite agree with him. I think he needs a young, hungry manager in that can take the club to the next level. Mm. What worries me, though, is, you know, the one of the names that's been talked about has been Marco Silva. Mm. Now, my issue with him is loyalty. Mm.
Matt, we got 1 minute left, so let Sharpie just respond to that.
Thanks. Marco Silva, loyalty. I think everybody knew that he wanted to come to Everton. It didn't happen for him for whatever reason. Results went the other way at Watford. But I would still think that he's high up in Mashiri's wanted list. He wanted him badly beforehand. He was willing to pay compensation, a big compensation at that. So I still think he will be in the plans. Whether it's him, we'll just have to wait and see. Listen, who knows? It may well be Sam Allardyce. You don't know, but I tend to agree with you with the likes of what you said about the contract and the length of the contract.
Some managers are money men. It's just a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. You know, absolutely, Matt. Good call, Matt.
Yeah, top stuff. Excellent stuff.
Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers, Matt. Cheers.
Nice to have you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Top man. Right, some very intelligent callers on tonight. Yeah. Quick look ahead to the weekend. Liverpool 5:30. Rafa returns. Yeah. They're going to park the bus.
Yeah.
Liverpool
going to break. I'm looking forward to going home this cold night and having a pan of scouse. Big pan of scouse with beetroot and the cabbage, the whole lot, and crusty bread.
Did you celebrate International Scouse Day, did you?
I didn't. That's why I'm having it today.
Oh, you're having it late, are you? Right, okay. But Liverpool will win at the weekend, yeah?
Hope so.
All right. Yeah. Sharpie, Everton and Burnley?
Got to win away. Right. Got to win away, starting from Saturday. Mm.
Top stuff, boys. Thank you very much indeed. I'll be back in the morning. Radio City Talk from 7 a.m. 7 till 11, as always, each and every weekday. Tomorrow morning, we'll look ahead to the weekend fixtures with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo between 7 and 8. We've got local music being featured after 9 o'clock. Sound of Merseyside. All the normal features. Hopefully, I'll see you then. Radio City Legends back on Monday, 7:30.
Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 1-8-8-BET. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Gamble responsibly.